Bachman and Crowder simulcast on a Monday. You're listening to us on 790 The Ticket from 2 till 3 o'clock. We appreciate it. Now we welcome in our listeners on 560 The Joe. And we've got a loaded potato for you on these next 3 hours. So, yeah, I don't know if it can top the first hour, because the first hour is filled, the text machine is filled with, this is what transpired. If you want to know what transpired in the first hour of this show, the text machine is filled with poppycock, fiddle faddle, and crunch and munch. It's just over and over from different listeners. And when I say filled, I'm saying hundreds of texts that either say poppycock, fiddle faddle, or crunch and munch. And then if you were to wade through the text machine, it is one after another crushing our own Jay Fig and what she brought to the program in the 2:45 segment. So I don't know how we'll top it, but we're going to try. I mean, I'm lost, though. I'm lost. Like, do all 26-year-olds not find classic movies entertaining? Like, is she representative of 26-year-olds, or do you think she is the outlier?
No, I would say Jay Figg's in the majority. You know what I'm saying? I would think, like, the Beverly Hills Cop. I'm just listening to her talk and listening to her talk about these movies over the last couple weeks. I don't think she finds the stuff funny that we think's funny. I don't think,
like, you think most 26-year-olds, given the choice, you can watch The Clumps or Beverly Hills Cop, most of them are watching The Clumps.
I do believe that. Norbit, so just the different characters, the suits, the just, you know, more aesthetics than just flat out comedy.
So sad. All right. Anyway, we have a lot of stuff to get to during the Hockman and Crowder simulcast. Going to talk a little WrestleMania in about 15 minutes. Dr. Chuck Metzger, professional medical expert, going to join us in the 4 o'clock hour and give us a whole bunch of info on coronavirus and how it's affecting everybody locally. And he'll even try to sneak in a couple of your phone calls like we did last week when he came on with us. I wanted to read something here at the beginning of the 3 o'clock hour. This hour is brought to you by Orion Fuels and Downstairs Convenience Stores. Truly steps beyond convenient. Jay Busby wrote this in Yahoo Sports, and it's very brief, but I wanted to get your opinion. This weekend brought us equal doses of faint optimism and crushing realism. Saturday and Sunday night featured a closed-set WrestleMania showdown, which, outside of marble racing, was pretty much the closest thing any of us have seen to live sports in the last 3 weeks. What's more, it's becoming ever more clear that if we want sports sooner than later, we'll have to watch them on TV. All of us. No fans are getting into arenas anytime soon, not until state governors sign off on the idea. And California Governor Gavin Newsom, whose state has 19 pro franchises, is among those preaching extreme patience. Yes, the NFL is rolling forward, intending to start on time and as usual in September. President Trump said on Saturday he hopes to have fans back in arenas, ballparks, and golf courses by August. But on our current track, that's sounding a lot more like wishful thinking rather than practical reality. The logistical challenges of screening and protecting tens of thousands of fans are, at the moment, so vast they might as well be impossible. But as WrestleMania showed this weekend, there's still a way to entertain fans, even if something essential is missing without those fans in attendance. Yes, it will be a different experience. Basketball games will be all sneaker squeaks and whistles. Baseball games will have vast echoes. Football games will feel like watching practice. It'll be like listening to a band without the drummer. Even so, if it happens, I'll be watching. You might be too. I don't know about you, but right now I'd be happy to sprawl out on the couch in front of a meaningless Mets-Marlins game rather than sit through yet another replay of some bygone classic. Sure, this is his opinion. Sure, Mets-Marlins would be terrible, but at least I won't already know how it ends.
It's a 305.
Dolly.
305.
Dolly. God bless. Dolly.
always break for Pitbull at 3:05. Doesn't matter what we're doing. Obviously, the safety of the teams and anyone they come into contact with before, during, and after games is of paramount importance. If the leagues can't guarantee complete safety of players, coaches, and team officials, then we've got even longer to wait. But if we get to the point where testing is widespread, rapid, and reliable enough to guarantee everyone involved is COVID-free, well, I say play on. A little slice of pre-coronavirus normalcy would go a long way right about now. And I'm in pretty much total agreement with Jay Busby. I would rather watch I saw that they were talking about playing Major League Baseball games, if they can get the season started, playing them at the spring training parks, because that would take away the travel element, right? So if half the teams were playing in Florida, half of them were playing in Arizona, and they would play with no fans in attendance at spring training parks, I would love that. I would watch that in a heartbeat. I've had a difficult time watching replays of games. That's just not my cup of tea. Would you watch stuff like that if they had games without fans? I know neither of us watch WrestleMania, but would you watch games without fans?
100%. Because I enjoy the art of it, you know, like the, what they call boxing, the sweet art or whatever. Like, I enjoy the art of football. I enjoy the X's and O's of basketball. I enjoy the ball movement in basketball. Like, I've never watched an NBA game without fans, so I don't know what I'm missing out on. But all I remember about fans when I'm watching a game on TV in the NBA is the little 4 seconds before they go to commercial break of seeing the little family with the cute girl dancing around. Like, well, I don't care about the fans anyway.
Yeah, I would disagree with that. It's a completely different experience, because I have watched some clips of WrestleMania. I mean, without the fans, without the cheering, like, it feels totally different. If you said to me, how do I prefer to watch sports? And I've said this even like about Panthers games, right? Like, go to a Florida Panthers game, even if the fans are mostly there to see Toronto, I like it. I like when there's a ton of fans. I like when there's a vibe and an energy. I'd be okay if college football, pro football, Major League Baseball, I'd be okay if they had to start their seasons without fans. Like, I'm all for it. As much normalcy as we can get back to, it's why I'm such a proponent of the NFL holding the draft as planned. It's inconvenient. It's a different challenge than it's been in previous years. But I want as much normalcy as possible. And so if you can keep everybody safe and still hold the draft, I'm for it. But I do think, like, you say that you could watch it without fans. I think it would be just a totally different experience. Although, in the next segment, we are going to talk with a broadcaster who watched WrestleMania, and he can give you a pretty good... did you watch any of WrestleMania, Solana? I didn't even ask you earlier.
I was following along on Twitter, and a lot of people were streaming it live, but I didn't watch it live, no.
Yeah, just without the fans. The clip that I saw of Gronk without fans, I mean, it was weird. It was just weird. Like, I don't know how else to describe it.
But during the football game, like, watching on TV, and let's be honest, 99% of fans watch it on TV. Millions watch it on TV. There's only 100,000 that can fit in the stadium. So over 90% of fans watch it on TV. And then if you're thinking about, if you're watching first and 10, they kick the ball to first and 10, all the fans give you is ambient noise. Like, you just hear in the background. Like, you miss the ambient noise?
Yeah, that adds a lot to me. It does. The fan shots, the fan noise, yeah, all that stuff to me is what makes a sporting event so fun. In fact, to me, it's why a concert is so much fun versus watching someone perform without fans. Like, it's the music is the same, right? The music is the same, and you may hear a clearer version, but I would much prefer to see a live performance of music in front of a bunch of screaming fans rather than a band performing with no audience. But that's my personal opinion.
I was gonna say, we've talked about this too, where I watch most of my football games without volume, either in a sports bar they don't have the volume on, or when I'm at home. Like, Tony Romo brought volume back to my football game, because I wanted to listen to him, because there was so much hoopla about Tony and him breaking down the game. But I like the X and O of it in basketball too. I might be on an island here. I just like the art of what those guys do. LeBron can still cross a dude up, drop back, hit a three, and then drive past him to dunk, you know, the next series down, and it's still beautiful just to watch the art of the game. I don't need to hear somebody yell L.A., L.A. for me to enjoy L.A. Lakers game.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. The art of it is still great. The competition is still there. I'm just saying I would much prefer to watch a full house in anything that I consider to be a spectator sport just because it adds to the ambiance for me.
And one thing I know it's going to do is affect the outcome of games because, like, the Heat right now are amazing at home and they're terrible right away. You take that home court advantage away from the Heat and they're probably about a 500 club right now.
Right, kind of sucks the life out of them. Let's get headlines real quick here from Alejandro Solana.
The Miami Dolphins will host a virtual 2020 NFL draft party. It's going to be presented by Bud Light Seltzer on Thursday, April 23rd, the first day of the NFL draft, in the official Miami Dolphins fan group on Facebook.
All right, I'm sure a lot of people will be joining in on that, looking for some conversation and whatnot. What else you got, Solana?
NFL.com reported that as part of the NFL competition committee scheduled meetings coming up in late May, the pass interference rule that was implemented last season will, quote, almost certainly not be extended.
The pass interference replay rule.
Correct.
Yeah. 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 And that's a good riddance to that.
Slap Sean Payton.
Well, he's the one that was the victim of it, though.
Yes, and he's the one that complains the most.
I know, but I mean, he was that Saints, yeah. That missed call was brutal. What
Coleman,
else you have, Solana?
That made yeah. Roby Coleman's career.
It really did.
Some golf news around the tour, the 149th Open Championship. It was scheduled for July 16th through the 19th, was canceled today. And Augusta National, they had previously postponed their tournament, the 2020 Masters, but now they're looking at a hopeful November start time for the 2020
Masters. And I could absolutely see that happening in November because, remember, we're going to hopefully by then have quick tests and you'd be at the low end of the curve on the virus pandemic. And so if you have quick tests as someone's going to the tee, they can be tested, or obviously before they would get onto the golf course, they would be tested. You're not going to have fans, I don't think. And so I do think you're going to see a return to sports by then. I'm more on the optimistic side than the pessimistic side. I know there's a lot of people going, oh, you can't do anything till next year, until there's a vaccine, you know, in 2021 by the earliest and whatever. I do think that there's going to be workarounds around that.
And in golf, what do you need? One golfer, one caddy? Like, two right. golfers and two caddies? Right. Like, you can literally
That's
have five
you.
Or six people around each other at max.
I'm watching horse racing every weekend, really every day on TVG. I mean, they are running horses. You got sometimes up to 14 horses in a race, so that's 14 jockeys and then another 14 handlers and stuff. Like, there's ways to do this without fans, so I'm on the optimistic side.
With football, there is close to 100 people on that sideline with security, with coaches, with the entire team, with, like, there's 80 plus people on each sideline during a football game. That's
football would be
people.
A different animal. Yeah, be a different
That'd
animal.
That'd be a monster.
But like golf, tennis, I could absolutely yeah. see those returning. Basketball. All right, what else you have in the headlines, Solana?
Caesar Sportsbook has Clemson as the favorite to win the ACC championship game at minus 600.
Wow, they've got them beating Miami?
Crazy, right?
Wow. All
right. Wow. Anything else?
Ed Reed, never mind. Wow.
Stop
Ed
it.
Ed Reed is there.
Stop it.
Finally, guys, Manchester City, they're one of the bigger clubs in the English Premier League. They're now investigating defender Kyle Walker for allegedly hosting a party with two sex workers amid the UK shutdown caused by the coronavirus pandemic.
And the reason they're investigating him is because there should have been three. Hey, give me the rim shot. Nope. All right. Anything else?
Sex workers.
Makes it sound more pleasant.
It does. Makes it gentle.
Breaking news.
Just got a notification that the NFL has confirmed a virtual draft. Roger Goodell is outlining procedures for the April 23rd through 25th draft.
Very cool.
For
all
teams.
So we'll have details on that today.
Yeah, guidelines will include no group gatherings.
Okay. All right, you have weather?
Yep, weather in Miami right now, 82 degrees, partly cloudy. We are expecting some spotted showers across South Florida beginning at around 4 p.m. today. This entire report was brought to you by Rubenstein Law. Rubenstein Law is working. They're ready to take your call. They can sign your case up virtually. If you've been injured in an accident, slip and fall, or medical malpractice, call Rubenstein Law, 1-800-FL-LEGAL. Offices in Miami and throughout Florida. Again, Rubenstein Law, 1-800-FL-LEGAL.
All right, we're going to talk with Josh Appel in the next segment. He used to be an intern of mine back in the Lebatard show days, but now he is a national broadcaster for NFL games on Sports USA Media, and he is a huge pro wrestling fan, and so I wanted to get an actual broadcast professional that could speak on WrestleMania this past weekend and what they observed from it. So we'll talk with Josh Appel about WrestleMania in the next segment.
In this time of uncertainty, J&K Roofing is here for you. For over 41 years, J&K Roofing has been South Florida's premier roofing company, and right now they're taking extra precautions with their equipment and their workers by sanitizing all the materials each time they go to a new or existing job, and they're practicing social distancing for you and their workers. And in most cases, they don't even have to go in your house when they need to fix your roof. In most cases, they don't even gotta go inside, and they're also offering special financing right now with Y Green. J&K Roofing specializes in both residential and commercial. There's no job too big, there's no job too small for J&K to handle. Like I said, for over 40 years, they figured this thing out. They only use highly skilled workers, and they're experts in installing new roofs and repairing those existing ones. And J&K workers they work with all kind of different material now. Shingle roofs, gravel roofs, tile roofs, metal roofs. They can give you whatever you want. And they understand that quality, service, safety, and health in this time of crisis are the most important things on their customers' minds. And that's how they've been successful for over 40 years, because they're always concerned with their customers. In addition, this is a perfect time to get your roof done, because that rainy and hurricane season is on the way. You got to give J&K Roofing a call today at 954-961-9879. That's 954-961-9879 for all your roofing needs. J&K Roofing knows that we are here and we're doing this all together.
All right, we'll talk a little WrestleMania next on Hockman and Crowder. Crazy little thing called love. The Hockman and Crowder simulcast on a Monday. And I promised you an expert in the world of wrestling and broadcasting. And Josh Appel is that, even though he was my former intern. We're going to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. So, as I said earlier in the show, Josh Appel, he does play-by-play nationally on NFL and college football broadcasts for Sports USA Media. He did the Dolphins game against the Colts in Week 10 last season nationally. He was the winner of the 2016 Jim Nance Award, which is a high honor for a young broadcaster. And I think most importantly, he was the co-host of the short-lived Smark Your Territory pro wrestling podcast on the Five Reasons smattering of podcasts. And he loves professional wrestling, which is why we're having him on. Hello, Josh. That could not have been more appropriate. You want to get him back on? Yeah. Is it because I called Five Reasons a smattering of podcasts?
I guess, man. You know they're controlling the airwaves now.
Tell you what, man, this mark your territory. You never know what you're going to hear on that. All right, hold on. We'll get him back on the line there.
When you love somebody, boy, you treat them different, don't you? Good grief, you killed the man. I thought y'all were tight.
I love this guy. I used to make sure that the interns, I would send them out. Let's say it was, you know, give them $20, $30. And I would go, come back with a lot of snacks. We had a lot of guys on the show. Come back with good snacks and good drinks. Appel was one of the guys that would come back with good snacks and good drinks. Ira Winderman's kid, Jake, was terrible at it. He just didn't know what he was doing. I think Jake was one of your interns for a while, wasn't he?
Yes, Jake interned with us, and you're right. He didn't know what the hell to get. Nobody wants those damn little peanut bars, the little orange Cheeto sticks. He'd get the worst candy ever.
But that, to me, was a judge of a good intern. It's like, here's $30. Come back with good stuff. And if you come back and there's no handicap fries in there, then you just don't know what you're doing. That's my first gauge. All right, Josh, are you back?
I'm back. I'm here. And it's funny you bring up Andy Capp's hot fries, because I actually have two bags of those in my cabinet right now. I had stocked up on those for quarantine. Had to.
That's why you've become a successful broadcaster in your own right, because you're a good judge of what's right and what's wrong. And if you can have Andy Capp fries as part of your quarantine rations, you're obviously a good judge of what's right and what's wrong. So Josh Appel is with us. He is a professional broadcaster. He truly is making his mark on broadcasting. I got to ask you, before I talk about WrestleMania, though, is there anything on your schedule coming up to broadcast, or is your schedule completely wiped clean?
Well, I had some soccer. I had some college baseball. I had some tennis that right now is scheduled for July, which I guess would be technically the next thing, but I mean, everything is kind of in flux. So technically right now there are zero things on my future schedule to call.
You don't you're not broadcasting anything virtually. You're not doing any of the marbles competitions or anything.
not that I've been asked to do yet, at least.
All right. Well, let's talk WrestleMania here. Josh Appel with us. It's a whole different animal to be doing the show from our houses.
Yeah.
So you're a wrestling fan. Smark your territory took off, and you've really been able to do something on the heels of that. But honestly, how was WrestleMania? You've been a wrestling fan for a long time. You enjoy wrestling. WrestleMania is a Super Bowl to you. How was WrestleMania on TV over two nights with no fans in attendance?
It was hard to really know what it was going to be like. I actually was going to, I was supposed to be up in Tampa for the show with a handful of friends, my co-host Mr. Bill 11 on Smarker Territory. We were all supposed to be up there, and I wasn't really sure what to expect. So I didn't really go in, for lack of a better term, expecting anything else other than, you know, just kind of silence. And I was curious to see how, you know, their pre-taped segments would go, the matches in front of nobody. Like, how am I going to get emotionally invested in these things? And I'll tell you what, given the circumstances, I'm not sure they could have put on a better show. It was legitimately entertaining on both nights. Yeah, there were some highs and lows, and that's with any wrestling card. But for the circumstances they were given, performing in front of nobody, and then, you know, they don't really have a great track record of these pre-recorded off-site segments like they did with the Boneyard match with Undertaker and AJ Styles, and then what they did with Bray Wyatt and John Cena. They don't necessarily have a great track record of, number one, understanding how to do good segments like that, number one, and number two, just executing them. So really, I couldn't have expected it to be as good as it was. I was very pleasantly surprised.
And Josh, you talk about the not having a fan, and you know, something all the sports are dealing with. What did you see the biggest struggle that, you know, the wrestlers had, the production crew had with not having a fan base out there watching?
Well, I mean, live crowds make or break a wrestling show. I mean, you can have two of the best in the ring for 10, 12 minutes, and the crowd could be sitting on their hands making no noise in El Paso, Texas, and it could really take away from it. But you put on that same match in Philadelphia or Boston or Chicago, and the fans are screaming out of their minds, it just makes the match feel so much better than it, you know, might be or whatever. I mean, you could tell that some performers were trying to go over the top with their facial expressions, their trash talking in the ring, or just kind of how they would react to a certain spot. And they were trying to overcompensate for it and kind of play to the audience of millions that was watching instead of the audience of thousands that would have been in attendance. And I think that you really saw the ones that are really, really good at pro wrestling and the art of it exceed. And you'd see a lot of people saying good things about those matches. And the guys who are kind of newer and already kind of not liked by the fan base, they kind of struggled. And those are the matches that, you know, people couldn't keep their attention on. I'll just give you an example. Last night, the first match that kicked off the show was Charlotte Flair and Rhea Ripley. And that was for the women's title of the development brand, which isn't really development anymore. They're on national TV every week. But I want to say they went for 15, 20 minutes, and they're grunting and they're hollering like they're doing a match at Raymond James Stadium. Another example, you look at the ladder match from night one, where three guys are throwing themselves off the top of ladders in front of nobody. And one of the wrestlers, actually, Xavier Woods, he tweeted, he said, you know what, this hurts about 10 times more in front of nobody, because you don't have that adrenaline going than it does if you were to be, you know, in an emptier arena.
Yeah, that actually makes sense. Josh Appel is with us. He is our WrestleMania correspondent. I didn't watch any of it. I'm not a wrestling fan. Neither is Crowder. I saw that Rob Gronkowski won a belt. Now, I didn't know that he was up to win a belt. I thought he was just the MC.
Okay, so here's the thing with the championship that he won. It's called the 24/7 championship, and it's this thing that kind of they enforce rules when they want. So it can be defended, but think of like the hardcore title from the Attitude Era. It's basically that kind of concept. Rob Stone, the Fox college football and soccer host, has actually won it before. It's been defended on a golf course, on a plane tarmac. and see, exactly. And so, of course, Rob Gronkowski is going to jump off the platform he was hosting on onto a bunch of wrestlers nobody's ever seen or heard of and then pin somebody and win the title. And I think some people would argue that it's the most prestigious title he's ever won.
Wow. Yeah, I guess between that and the Super Bowl, it's a toss-up, which is better.
Well, there were actually odds on a certain betting site that turned out to be wrong, obviously, and just a misprint, where it had the odds for him winning the actual like WWE or Universal Championship, and he was a heavy favorite for that and a huge underdog to not win it. And so my first thought was, oh my God, they're gonna panic and do something to like shoehorn him in to make this so like the mainstream people cover it because, you know, there's nobody there. But thank God it was just this and it was perfect. Nobody will remember it. Nobody really cares about it. It was nice off of the side. And there you go. Happy 24/7 championship winner, Rob Gronkowski.
Josh, does Gronk really move the needle financially, viewing wise? Did he move the needle for wrestling?
I mean, maybe some casuals will come over and watch. I'm sure people in the sports world tuned in just to kind of see what he was doing, but he wasn't like a huge part of the show. I remember actually being in Orlando for WrestleMania a few years ago, and he actually got involved in the pre-show battle royal to help his friend who's in the company win the match, his friend who he actually pinned last night to win the title he won. But back then he helped him win a battle royal. Like he threw his drink onto the wrestler and hopped the barricade and went into the ring and shoulder tackled the guy. And it's like, it's nice for the moment or two there, but I mean, I can't see, you know, that move. Like, I'll tell you, the actual fans of wrestling probably didn't like it because like the internet wrestling fans, the hardcore wrestling fans, they hate when like that type of stuff happens. But
that's happened a long time, right? Mr. T, Dennis Rodman,
for sure.
Like there's been athletes, and entertainers for a long time that somehow make their way into the ring for an appearance or two.
Yeah, no question about it. And I think that's what this year's version of that was. It's just, I don't know, to people outside of the New England area, if anybody really cares all that much about Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah, from what I saw, it was like, I don't know. I think he feeds off a crowd. I think it was a little flat,
right,
because
for sure
he needs to feed off a crowd, right?
Well, absolutely. And I don't know if you saw the clip when he first appeared on SmackDown to announce he was hosting, but he did that gyrating motion when he was walking up the stairs, and it didn't click because, like you said, there's nobody there and he's just doing it for nobody, and it just felt really try hard. At least that's how it came off to me.
Josh Appel, a broadcaster in his own right and 2016 Jim Nance Award winner, very proud of this guy, and host of the short-lived Smark Your Territory pro wrestling podcast.
We're on hiatus.
Five Reasons. How long have you been on hiatus?
I think we were going to come back around WrestleMania. We've been on hiatus since like the end of last year.
I mean, are you on hiatus if the hiatus is longer than the actual run of the show?
Hey, no badgering the guest.
He doesn't even have the Five Reasons sign-in anymore. He doesn't even...
Look,
sorry,
Bill, listen, it's fine. Bill still tweets from the account. You can follow the account on Twitter @SmartTweets. We're very active on there.
There you go.
The plan is to come back eventually.
All right. Well, everyone is waiting. Josh Appel, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for breaking. So how would you rate, by the way, like 1 through 10, how would you rate WrestleMania? Were you captivated the entire weekend?
Oh, absolutely. I was glued to the couch both nights for all 4 hours, 3.5 hours, whatever it was. I think a 7.5, 7.6 out of 10, given the circumstances, you kind of grade on a curve. It was a perfectly watchable show. And everything else, the 4 or 5 matches that were really good kind of put it over the top and made it one that a lot of people expected to be one of, if not the worst WrestleManias of all time. So I've seen some people talking about it being, you know, one of the more memorable ones, given everything that's happening around it, especially, you know, the Boneyard. If you Hawk, I feel like this Boneyard match and this Bray Wyatt, John Cena, Firefly Funhouse match are right up your alley.
Yeah, is that the one where I saw some hand coming out of the dirt?
Exactly. It was just so was everything absurd and great about pro wrestling.
All right, I'm in on that. You've sold me on that. And then who won? Is there a WrestleMania winner?
I mean, the people won their matches. So Drew McIntyre beat Brock Lesnar for the big championship.
So that was the big one. That was like the headline match.
Yeah, that and the two pre-recorded matches. So Undertaker winning and Bray Wyatt beating John Cena, and then Drew McIntyre was the final. Drew McIntyre, Brock Lesnar was the main event of everything. It was the last match to go on. Drew McIntyre won the Royal Rumble and completed that story by winning the championship in the last match last night.
Gotcha. All right, Josh Appel.
And I think Goldberg has asthma now, I heard. They said he was tired in 10 seconds.
What happened to Goldberg?
They said he has asthma. They said he was huffing and puffing. I don't know. That used to be my man.
That they're still trying to do this with Goldberg in 2020 is crazy to me. He can't do anything. Yes. He does two moves, a spear and a jackhammer that's kind of like a suplex kind of thing. And he can't even do the jackhammer. It's one move that he's supposed to be his finishing move. He can't do it.
Josh, how old is Goldberg? Asthma.
No, you know what? He's 53. He's only 53.
Only because you're 50.
I know, but I'm saying, like, I feel like 53, he should still be able. Isn't Hulk Hogan still wrestling?
No, Hulk Hogan is not still wrestling. He's making appearances, but he's not still wrestling.
Sure.
Undertaker would be like, I'm positive.
All right. Bruno Sammartino, is he still wrestling? We don't know.
I don't think Bruno is on any cards anytime soon.
All right. Okay. All right, there you go. Josh Appel, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for making time for us, Josh. We appreciate it.
No, appreciate you guys having me. Stay safe.
There you go. Josh Appel. What do we have planned for everybody? I have the official word from Roger Goodell about the draft and how teams are going to approach it. So I'll let you know in the next segment exactly how the NFL is going to run the draft. 4 o'clock, Dr. Chuck Metzger is going to join us. He comes on every week now, gives us the updates on COVID-19 and everything that you might need to know. So we got a lot of stuff planned for you still.
Y'all have been hearing me talk about my man, Eric Nunez, the COO of Lubeck Road Automotive for years now. And Eric and the Lubeck Road Automotive family, they've been serving South Florida community for decades. Like you, this is their home, and they're standing beside us through these tough times with well wishes of health and prosperity through the tough process. They've been taking precautions to keep you, their customer, and their employees safe at all of their stores, and they're open and here to serve you with all your automotive needs, whether it be in-store or online purchases and delivery of new Chevys or pre-owned vehicles. Any mechanical repairs, maintenance, or parts needs, whether online or in person, pickup and delivery is needed. Whatever you need, guys, Lubeck Road Automotive got you. They currently have some of the best offers ever to help you get into that new Chevy that you've been looking at. I see y'all staring at my Suburban every day. They have great deals right now to get you in that Chevy that you love with, listen here, 84-month financing options at 0% on most of your favorite Chevys. You can't beat that. And they're committed to the community, as always, and they're here to help. Lubeck Road Chevrolet with locations in Coconut Creek and Pompano, and there for you always. You can go online at CoconutCreekChevrolet.com. Find new roads.
All right, let's take a break, and we'll come back with more of this Monday edition of Hockman and Crowder. All right, it's the Hockman and Crowder simulcast on a Monday. Now, a couple of programming notes. Coming up tomorrow night, 6 o'clock on 560 The Joe, the Florida Panthers take on the Coyotes in our great game series. Panthers were ending a 5-game road trip. They needed a win. You could tune in to hear the game. Spoiler alert, Panthers win. That is tomorrow night, 6 o'clock on 560 The Joe. Now, tomorrow night at 6 o'clock on 790 The Ticket, you've got the Heat and the Sixers as part of our great game series. And that's a close one from December. Spoiler alert, the Heat win. So you can tune in right here and listen to that game. That's on 790 The Ticket. And There you go. And you can listen to both those games, 560 The Joe or 790 The Ticket. You can listen to both stations on the radio.com app. Now, I mentioned at the end of the last segment with Josh Appel that Roger Goodell has come out with his exact formatics for the draft. This is what Adam Schefter tweeted. He tweeted a copy of the memo and wrote, "Now official, NFL has now informed teams it will do a virtual draft this year. GMs and head coaches will be drafting from their homes." He goes on to tweet, "NFL teams cannot gather at one person's home. Each person for him or herself at the draft." He tweets after that, "Basically, the GMs and head coaches and other team personnel ensconced in their homes for the April 23rd to 25th draft. The NFL draft will be conducted a lot like your fantasy football draft." So here is the memo to chief executives, club presidents, general managers, and head coaches from Roger Goodell. "In response to developing conditions and the advice of medical and public health experts, authorities at all levels of government have expanded the scope and extended the duration of orders requiring residents to shelter in place and closing non-essential businesses. These orders now cover the vast majority of residents and include every NFL home community. In some locations, these orders extend as far as June, and we should expect that trend will continue. As you know, our offices have been closed since March 13th, and all club facilities have been closed since March 26th. These steps were taken to protect our players and staffs, to model appropriate behavior, and to ensure competitive equality among all 32 clubs. Given the current and expected conditions, and to ensure that we operate responsibly and in full compliance with current regulations, both league and club facilities will remain closed indefinitely. We will reopen facilities when it is safe to do so based on medical and public health advice and in compliance with government mandates. Because of these circumstances, clubs have been advised to prepare to conduct the 2020 draft entirely outside of their facilities and in a fully virtual format, with club personnel in separate locations and able to communicate with one another and draft headquarters by phone or internet. We have reviewed this matter in the past few days with both the Competition Committee and CEC, and this will confirm that clubs will conduct their draft operations remotely with club personnel separately located at their homes. We've made this decision for several reasons. All clubs will not have access to their facilities, which is contrary to the fundamental equity principle that all clubs operate in, consistent and fair. Consistent and fair way. Moreover, we want all NFL personnel to comply with government directives and to. I'm reading parts of the thing. So here you go. Our staff and events and football operations, information technology, and the management council will be in contact with each club and remains fully available to answer questions or assist in your preparations. Our understanding is that many clubs are already well advanced in preparing for a virtual draft, and we are confident that all clubs can take the necessary steps to make the 2020 draft a successful event. I've spoken with many of you in the past days, blah, blah, blah. So there you go. It's not going to be a look inside, say, the Dolphins war room at the Davey facility. It is going to be Chris Greer in his house, Brian Flores in his house. I don't know if you'll see Stephen Ross in his house, although I would love to see his house. But yeah, it's going to be a totally virtual event.
They can do that. They communicated. They're talking now every day. They're setting up their draft board. So, you know, especially the first round's easy. They know who they're taking at five, or right. They're jumping and talking to guys. My one concern when you talked about them all being separate was their communication, because the Zoom, I don't want to, you know, badmouth anybody, but Zoom, their stories now, and I got an email because my kids do Zoom classes, and people are hacking Zoom classes and putting pornography up.
Well, I don't think that they're going to be communicating with each other via Zoom. You'll probably have a look at Chris Greer, right, making the selection, but they'll be talking to each other over phone.
And that's what I was going to say with the NFL when you said that they're going to talk to each individual team, because some kind of closed circuit TV where they can talk if they need visual, you know, see each other or not see each other, but just something confidential where they can communicate, because it's so easy to hack the internet right now.
Well,
so
I would say what? Like it's honestly a FaceTime conversation, right? If you needed to see each other, it could be Reggie McKenzie, Chris Greer, Brian Flores on FaceTime, right? I mean, there's not going to be that many more people involved in the actual decision-making.
And that's the thing, Hawk, just to look at that, where if I was smart enough to figure it out, why would I not try to hack that FaceTime communication or, you know, something of that nature, and I can have the leg up for the team that drafts four or five spots behind them? I don't know if I'm being paranoid, but I just know it's so easy when you're through online and on all these, you know, dial-up services to hack that stuff and figure it out. And it's something that's so important to every team, but to be honest, extremely important to the Miami Dolphins, who have 14 picks this year.
They're the ones, honestly, that have the most to gain or lose during this draft.
Yep.
The Miami Dolphins, they're either – my guess is when you look at the day after grades, right, because they, or draft after, forget just Thursday, let's say on the Monday, and they do the grades for the draft. My guess is the Miami Dolphins either have an A or an F. I don't think there's going to be any middle ground for that. You know what I mean? Like, they're either going to hit a home run or they're going to be considered to have failed miserably at the draft.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't know if they'll grade him an F, but yes, I'm with you. What if they get Herbert, where we don't know about him? You know what I'm saying? Like, when you said it, I thought about it. Where what
I
if
think
they
if
do draft?
I think if they end up with Tua or Herbert, or, you know, I mean, with all good fortune, Joe Burrow. I think if they end up with one of those guys and still have two more quality picks in the first round, I think it's a slam dunk success. If they come out of that first round without a quarterback, then I think that all bets are off.
Bro, if you have three first-round picks and come out of the first round with an F, you must have been drunk.
Like, well, that's what I'm saying.
Bro, you have 5, 18, and 26. Like, get a tackle. Get, you know, they have so many good players. There's offensive tackles everywhere this draft. The running backs now, from Taylor to DeAndre Swift, the guy from Georgia. I love Swift from Georgia. To all these, to the DB from, what was it, Okuda. Like, there are game-changing guys, and you have three picks. If they come out this first round with a C, a B, they failed because you put so much into getting these three picks. You got rid of Minka. You got rid of Laramie. You got to capitalize on it.
You're right. If they come out with a B, that's an F, right? Yes. They have to come out with an A. Anything not an A is an F.
You got rid of two Pro Bowlers to get a pick. That pick needs to be a Pro Bowler now.
Yeah.
You traded those guys for picks. Use those picks and use them successfully. It's a lot on Chris Greer and Reggie McKenzie. And I think those are the two guys I'm putting the hat on when I'm criticizing or praising people in this draft, is Chris Greer and Reggie McKenzie.
In the next segment and in the 4 o'clock hour, Dr. Chuck Metzger is going to be with us. And if you listened to this show last week, everybody loved to hear from him. He's a board certified internist in Boca. He's been the team doctor for FAU Athletics. He's been chief of medicine at Boca Raton Regional Hospital. And, he's been our show doctor for a long time. He comes on when someone gets injured and he tells us what he thinks might happen or whatnot.
He got me through pink eye three times.
He got you through pink eye, which happens to be a possible trait of COVID-19.
I know, I heard
COVID-19! We don't have that at a moment's notice.
Not yet, but soon.
Oh, my God, you're killing me. All right, well, anyway, Dr. Chuck Metzger is going to join us here in the 4 o'clock hour. If you have a question for him regarding COVID-19, you could text it in 67974, or you could line it up on the phone lines. We did sneak in a few calls for him last week when he was on with us. 786-360-0790. Phone number again, 786-360-0790. 0790. We'll get all the latest on the coronavirus and how it affects South Florida from Dr. Chuck Metzger. That's going to be in the next segment. Now, I want to talk about BNT Impact Windows and Doors. This obviously is a crazy time that we're living in right now, but we know at some point everything is going to get back to normal. And so I'll start with this message from my friends at BNT Impact Windows and Doors. Be safe. follow the expert's advice, wash your hands frequently, and if you're stuck at home, like most of us are, maybe think about taking advantage of your time. Allow me to suggest start planning on getting PGT custom windows and doors installed in your house. In fact, my wife and I went for a walk this morning, and two BNT trucks drove by us on St. Andrews here in Boca. They're doing installations. BNT is the company my wife and I use for our home. It's a great feeling when you've got PGT custom windows and doors protecting everything. And right now, BNT can give you an estimate and still follow social distancing guidelines. They can measure the outside of your home. They can get the process started rather than measuring the inside of your home. They do it from the outside, and then they'll email you an estimate. And that way, impact windows and doors can be a reality in your house in the near future. If you're a homeowner in South Florida, you cannot imagine how safe and secure you feel when you've got those PGT custom windows and doors protecting everything. So get the week started off right. Call BNT Impact Windows and Doors, 954-233-0126. That's 954-233-0126. Or you could check them out online at bntimpactwindows.com. We're going to talk with Dr. Chuck Metzger next here on Hockman and Crowder.